The epistle for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart, and that in my bonds, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the love of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense unto the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice, through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? And they say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. These words are taken from the Epistle of the Mass for the Feast of All Souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The year was 1793. In northern France, on the bank of a river, an intense fight, a fight to the death, was taking place. A certain man was desperately struggling in a fight for his life against two attackers. And finally, after several minutes of intense fighting, this man was overtaken, and the two aggressors drowned him in the river. Now, the man who was drowned was a revolutionist, very zealous revolutionist. And by revolutionist, I mean that he vehemently promoted the overthrow of the Catholic government in France. He was anti-Catholic. And no doubt he even denied the existence of God. Or at least he promoted the false idea that man did not need God, that man was equal, if not better, than God. And as most revolutionists, he promoted vice and immorality, all under the false banner of freedom and liberty, freedom from the church, freedom from God. Now, the men who attacked and murdered him were also revolutionaries. These three men were at one time all companions. But as usually happens with anti-Christian revolutionists, they eventually turn against each other. And as there is no true charity in them, they become each other's worst enemy. And thus, after a life of denying God, of neglecting religion, of sin and terrible vice, this poor victim was cruelly murdered in the midst of a most wicked life. And now his murderers left him, dead, abandoned, and forgotten. Now, this particular revolutionist who was drowned was also a father. He had a daughter who was actually a very pious girl. And when his daughter realized of her father's unfortunate death, she was deeply grieved. But my dear faithful, she also feared. And she had every reason to fear for her father's salvation. And this fear weighed heavily on her heart. Although she had very little hope for his salvation, she nevertheless got down on her knees and she prayed. She prayed for the repose of her father's soul. To his murderers, her father was gone. He was out of the way and to be forgotten. But to his daughter, it was an entirely different matter. She prayed, begging God for his mercy upon her father's soul. Every day, she did not give up hope. Many years went by, and still prayer was for this daughter a sweet and powerful consolation to her filial and affectionate heart, because prayer was now the only way she could possibly help her father. No matter how hopeless his situation seemed, she would not forget him. She would not abandon her father. And thus she continued to pray for him every day. Until one day, her father actually appeared to her. God, he explained, gave him a special grace. And in the last moments of his life, due to this grace, even as he was drowning, he was able to see the evils of his past life. And with a true, contrite heart, he begged and implored God his mercy and his forgiveness. He asked his daughter to continue her prayers and to have many masses offered for him, as his soul was now in purgatory. The daughter did as her father requested. She had masses offered for him, and she continued to remember her father in her prayers. One day, when the daughter was now well advanced in years, her father appeared to his daughter one last time. "I bless you, my child," he said. "My sufferings are now at an end, and now I am going to heaven." My dear faithful, November is the month dedicated to the poor souls in purgatory. The Church dedicates this month to them so that they will not be forgotten, so that they will not be ignored. The Church impresses this fact upon us with the words of sacred scripture. "It is therefore a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sin." These are very comforting words inspired by God, telling us that by our prayers, we can free souls from their crimes against God. You see, the souls in purgatory are in a state in which they can no longer help themselves except by their sufferings. But we, by our prayers and by our sacrifices, by our rosaries, and by the masses we have offered for them, we have it in our power to shorten their time in purgatory and to speed their way to heavenly glory. And in this way, we can help release them from the pains of purgatory. Daily and hourly, my dear faithful, the poor souls plead to us, imploring us to use our power to shorten their time of banishment, to rid them of their keenest pain, which is separation from the sight of God. And to think that even by one Hail Mary, one Hail Mary to the Queen of Heaven, we can give them comfort and send them that much closer to heaven. How sad it is, my dear faithful, that the new church actually discourages this doctrine of praying for the poor souls. You see, since Vatican II, priests and people, for the most part, think that all men, no matter what, go to heaven immediately after death. They actually consider the true Catholic funeral mass as something dark and morbid, because we wear black vestments, and because the priest reminds us to pray, since the departed soul might be suffering in purgatory. You see, their funeral services consist in white vestments. They speak of the resurrection of our Lord, and they tell you to rejoice. Rejoice, exclaiming that the departed soul is now in heaven. Even on their remembrance cards, they often have written, "Do not weep for me, do not mourn, for I am now in paradise," or words to that effect. And thus they lead people to conclude that there is no need to pray for the departed soul. And unfortunately, many souls suffering in purgatory today are forgotten and abandoned. To be forgotten and abandoned by others is a great suffering for any soul, whether living or dead. Our Lord speaks of the suffering of abandonment. If we take ourselves to Calvary and listen to the words of our divine Savior hanging upon the cross, we find that he does not speak of the great suffering caused by the nails. He does not complain about the pain caused by the scourges and the crown of thorns. But he says, "I thirst." And commentators tell us that Christ did not say this because he wished to quench his physical thirst, although it was intense, but because in his agony, he thirsted to be comforted by men. He wanted to be comforted by those for whom he was dying. He looked down from the cross, and he found that in his suffering, he was abandoned. He was forgotten, save only for the holy woman, Saint John, and his mother. And he even expresses this terrible pain in the words, "I looked for one who would comfort me, and I found none." Perhaps sometimes we have a small idea of this suffering, of just how painful it is when we are, or seem to be, forgotten. When in those little incidents of life, we feel neglected or ignored by others, especially those we love and those who are closest to us. The new church and Protestants, practically speaking, abandon the poor souls. But my dear faithful, we must not abandon them. We must not forget them. But rather, we must take up our rosaries and offer up our masses for the poor souls. Let us remember and pray for our loved ones, our family members who have gone before us, our mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. Let us resolve to remember and pray for those who have been forgotten by the world, and who have no one to pray for them. For my dear faithful, by the mercy of God, we know the truth. We know that in order for a poor soul to get to heaven, it must first be made perfect. And this perfection and purification is attained in purgatory. The reality of pure purgatory, then, is the result of the loving mercy of God. For those who understand it, it is a most consoling thing. The souls in purgatory are guaranteed heaven, but to help them get them there, they beg us to help them. And we have the power to do it. Let us then, like the daughter of the revolutionary, pray with the greatest confidence for the poor souls. Let us show them that we care, that we will not abandon them. For it is, as sacred scripture says, a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.